Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Throughout the popular culture, grandparents are seen as aloof nurturers, expected only to spoil those grandkids. While this depiction is very common in most families, Christian grandparents have a higher calling to aspire to. Today, you're going to hear the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with a man named Larry Fowler, who runs the organization called the Legacy Coalition. Its mission is to encourage grandparents and make them realize their spiritual responsibilities for their kids and grandkids. This is a much-needed conversation due to the abandonment of Christian morals by this next generation. Well, there's a lot of content to get to, so let's get started. Here again is our host, Dr. James Dobson.
Larry, how many grandparents do you think there are in the United States, and how many of them have a faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, our government census says there's somewhere around 75 million grandparents. And from what we know of other studies, about 40% of our generation professes to be born again believers. So we extrapolate that there are about 30 million Christian grandparents in America. And Dr. Dobson, each one of those on average has four grandchildren. That means that we have the potential to impact 120 million of the youngest Americans. We could start a national revival through the grandparent-grandchild relationship. We could still save this country if we just exerted our influence with those in our own families. We could change this nation.
If that won't stir the hearts of the grandparents who are out there, I don't know what would. And what a ministry, my goodness.
You know, we have an opportunity still to do a lot to impact our country. And I think about the things that are happening at the elementary school close to where I live. I can't do much about that. I can't do much about the universities. Can't do much about the politics. I can't do much about a lot of things. But you know what? I can do something about my grandkids.
And so can
every grandparent that's listening. If we would all band together and use our spiritual influence and apply truth and grace both to our grandparent-grandchild relationships, we could change this country. I believe it with all my heart.
Larry, how do you begin talking to your grandchildren about the Lord? How do you make that meaningful to them? Because, unless they're unusual kids, they get bored real quick. How do you take the gospel directly to them?
Well, a lot of different ways. Number one, we tell our own story.
Is that a scriptural precept?
Well, it's a scriptural example for us to follow. Moses, when he was leading the children out, he said, "You tell your children and your children's children about all the things that you've seen." And he was talking about the plagues and all that happened. He said, "You tell them what your eyes have seen." And if we will follow that example, we will tell our children what our eyes have seen of God's goodness. And, you know, so we're to share our faith stories with them. We're to bless our grandchildren. That's something that we do on a regular basis. We use the Levitical blessing, and we say that over our grandkids all the time.
Describe that for us. How does that take place?
I'll tell you, our youngest grandson is now five. When he was two, he would spend the afternoons with us, and he'd take a nap. And right before it was time for nap, my wife, Diane, would say, "Micah, it's time for your nap." And he would scream and holler, "No, don't want to take a nap." She just wouldn't listen to him. She'd say, "Why don't Grandpa give you a blessing before it's time for your nap?" And this little guy that can't stand still for anything, something would happen to him. He would come over and he would stand in front of me and he'd stand still of all things. He put his hands down to his sides. I put my hands on his head on either side. I'd look him in the eye, give him a great big smile. And I'd say, "Micah, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now go take your nap." And you know what? He never protested his nap after I did the blessing on him.
That is incredible. That's a wonderful story.
Yeah. And I believe the blessing is the opposite of prayer. Prayer is talking to God on behalf of others, at least intercessory prayer. Blessings are talking to others on behalf of God. I am speaking God's words of favor into the lives of my grandkids. That's such a powerful thing to do. You know, as a spiritual patriarch, who better than me to pronounce God's favor into my lives and my grandkids? Now, when they live at a distance and when they're teenagers or older, you don't do it the same way, but you adapt according to how old they are and the opportunities that you have.
Have they believed what you taught them?
The jury's still out on the younger ones, you know, because they're 5, 7, and 9, sure. But we see their faith growing and doing well. The older ones, yes. We're so thankful their faith is solid. And, you know, they were in that marriage that fell apart and then they lived with us. And we've watched their faith grow and they've each had their own journeys, but they are firm in their faith.
You know, I mentioned in the first program that my parents talked about the Lord all the time, and it was my great-grandmother and my grandmother that did the most effective job. But if you can believe this, I learned to pray before I learned to talk.
Yes.
Because I was imitating the sounds that my parents made when they prayed when I didn't even know the meaning of the words. Yeah. I mean, you can't start too early.
No, you can't.
I mean, you grab whatever opportunities are there for you. And when I was 4 years of age, I went to an altar and I gave my heart to the Lord, which was the most significant moment of my entire life. And it affected every aspect of my life. Shortly after I became a follower of Jesus in that sense, I was riding my tricycle, and I had a wreck, and I primarily hurt my hand as I was going down, and I was really wailing over that. And I went to my mother, and I was just crying, and I was hurting so badly. And my mother said, "Why don't you pray about it and ask Jesus to take the pain away?" And I said, "Okay." And so I prayed my little prayer, and then I went to crying again. And she said, "Well, what did Jesus say?" And I said, "He said, 'I'm busy right now watering the flowers and trees, but I'll get to you when I can.'" That was an illustration of how even an accident became a point of teaching for my mother.
Well, you know, another thing we do right now that's really working well with our three youngest ones is they watch Superbook. And Superbook is an animated Bible story series. And I want to tell you, my grandsons love Superbook. So this is a shout out to Superbook. So we watch it, we talk with them, because then that starts a conversation. The Bible stories, yeah. And they're dramatized really well. So that starts the conversations then. We do try to follow Deuteronomy 6, as our children do, you know, talk about it when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way and when you rise up. In other words, it just becomes a part of the daily routine to talk about the Lord. And that's what you talk about.
That's Deuteronomy 6. Really, the whole passage is relevant to this discussion. Start right there and you'll find out what is not suggested by Moses. It is called a commandment. "These commandments I give to you this day to do these things."
And most of the time we think about that as a verse for parents, a passage for parents. But if you go to verses 2 and 3, it mentions your children and your children's children. So that actually is a command for both parents and grandparents.
It sure is.
You know, I think this is one of the things that gives grandparents who have an adult child who's walked away hope, and that is a new strategy. You know, our generation grew up with a high, high view of Scripture, and I know you're right there with me. We value truth so much. We look for churches that teach the truth. We teach the Bible. You know, we go to Bible conferences and seminars and everything. When grandparents have children or grandchildren that are struggling in their faith, I think it's important for them to think about representing Jesus to them Well, what does it mean to represent Jesus? Go to John 1:14, and the last phrase where it says Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. We have to be full of grace and full of truth to our children and to our grandchildren. I think it's pretty easy for us to be truth to them. We like to tell them the truth. It's a lot harder to be full of grace. And you know what's fascinating to me, Dr. Dobson, is even though Jesus was 100% truth and 100% grace, when he dealt with people, especially when he dealt with sinners, he most often led with grace, not with truth.
That's true.
You think about the story of the woman caught in adultery. You know, these men bring this woman to Jesus, and they asked Jesus to speak truth about her. They said, we caught her in the very act, and the law says to stone her. What do you say? They were wanting Jesus to pronounce truth, and he refused. Remember, he started writing in the sand.
And his last gracious words to her were, go and sin no more.
Yeah, and that actually was the truth that he was leading up to. Everything that he'd done before that was grace to this woman. And I remember one time talking with a group of grandmas about this, and they had been trying to speak truth into their children's lives, their adult children's lives, who had walked away from faith. One lady told me, my church has just been telling, just give them the gospel, give them the gospel, give them the gospel. They'll come around. In the meantime, her son was a declared atheist. I said, so how's it working? Well, not too well. He seemed to, the wall seems to getting higher. Well, I said, so how long have you been doing this? She said, about 10 years. So you've been leading with truth for 10 years. Yeah, hadn't had any result. How about if you do what Jesus did and start leading with grace? And leading with grace is not to the elimination of truth. It's so that they will hear truth.
There were so many examples where kindness preceded the obligations of the faith.
If there is a blame to be laid at our feet, our generation's feet, for the rapid change of culture and the aversion to evangelical Christianity, it's because we have been guilty of not balancing grace and truth well. We speak truth, but we don't often lead with grace well.
That's not to say that a message of condemnation of sin.
Exactly. It's the grace may be in the way we say it. The grace may be in the timing, especially when it's with our own children.
Tell me if you discipline your grandchildren.
Yes. Because when they're in our house, of course, we're the authorities. When their parents are present, we do not. When their parents are present, they are the ones that are primary disciplinarians. And when we have them, we do everything that we can to adapt the same standards and practices that our son and daughter-in-law do. We don't want to have conflicting discipline systems. We want to make theirs work. So we do everything we can to use theirs and to use it effectively.
Well, let's go to the really tough question. What if your children, the parents of your grandchildren, are not believers and really don't want you to introduce them to Christ?
Well, there are still things that you can do to impact your grandchildren for Christ without words. I have a great story for you. I was teaching a seminar about this, and a lady, very refined looking lady, I found out later she is a university professor. She stood up and she said, but Mr. Fowler, what do I do? My son has said I can see my granddaughter or I can talk to her about God, but I can never do both. Because the minute that I mention God to my granddaughter, I will never be allowed to see her again. And she said, what do I do? And so I tried to encourage her to pray and to be a good example. There's more to the story. As a Paul Harvey, the rest of the story part of the song. But that next summer, she determined she was going to spend time alone with that granddaughter. She honored what her son said, because she knew she would be cut off if she didn't. They went on a trip to New York City together, the two of them. And on that trip, the granddaughter forgot her camera, very expensive camera her dad had bought for her, forgot it and left it in a taxi. And they got out of the taxi and realized it was gone. And the granddaughter was just horrified. The grandma said, "Well, I'm going to pray." She didn't mention God. So she honored what she said. She said, "I'm going to pray." And the granddaughter said, "Well, I'm crossing my fingers." And grandma said, "Well, I'm going to pray." Well, to make the story short, the next people that got into the taxi cab found the camera, decided they wanted to try to get it back to who lost it. They went to all the work to find out who the fare was and the camera before, where were they picked up. And when this grandma and her granddaughter got back to their hotel, the camera was waiting at the front desk.
Isn't that wonderful?
The grandma said, "See, my prayer got answered." She didn't mention God, but she allowed her lifestyle and her prayers to still have, and I'll tell you what, that'll have a huge impact on that granddaughter.
Never underestimate what kids are picking up below the surface.
Yes.
They're watching, they remember, and they're influenced by very subtle things that are passed. You don't have to beat them over the head with it.
You don't. Deuteronomy 4:9 starts with the command of watch yourselves, meaning watching your own spiritual life. You know, this ought to be the time of our life that we are the most godly. We ought to be the least critical, the least cynical, the most hopeful, the most grace-filled that we've ever been in our whole lives. And the power of that kind of a lifestyle, with or without words, in the lives of our grandchildren has an incredible, incredible impact.
Well, I'm talking today with Larry Fowler about the most important subject I can imagine, that having to do with winning your grandchildren for Christ and being the kind of godly grandparent that I think is not only scriptural, but it's the substance of this second part of our lives. You get another chance. You raise your children, and then you get an opportunity to have an influence on the next generation, and we certainly want to capitalize on that. Larry, there are a couple of questions I want to ask you about your own ministry. What are you and the Legacy Coalition doing specifically for churches? You told us in the first program that there's not much going on there in the grandparent-grandchild relationship that the church deals with. What are you doing to change that?
We're providing the churches with the tools for small group classes, for seminars, for sermons, for everything that we can, because I believe in the local church. And if this focus on grandparenting does not get into the minds and hearts of the leaders of the local church, it's not a sustainable momentum. We have to have the involvement of the local church across America in order to reach the hearts of all the grandparents. So we now have several hundred churches that are carrying on ongoing classes or meetings of some sort or another for grandparents. There are many examples of churches that are doing something like once every 6 weeks. Of course, coronavirus has kind of cut that back for right now. But, you know, just having a gathering of grandparents to encourage them, to get them to pray together for their grandkids, to just give them the tools on how to overcome problems like distance. And so we're trying to equip the churches with tools to do that.
You know, I believe that there are many pastors out there who have never thought these things that we've been talking about these 2 days. I believe they're willing to focus on grandparenting, and we want to make sure that they can get in touch with you if they want help with that. We explained that at the end of the last program. Tell us again how people, how churches, how pastors, how grandparents can tap into the work that you're trying to do.
Well, it's really simple. We just want to direct them to our website because everything is there, all the contact information. That's legacycoalition.com. Let me speak to the pastors for just a second. I want to tell you, pastors, if there are some of you that are saying, you know what, we got to reach the young people. And sometimes when pastors say that, the older half of the congregation will feel put on the shelf or marginalized. I want to tell you, if you give them a vision for grandparenting, it'll stop the crankiness and they will align with your vision to reach the younger generation. You see, that's our whole passion too. This isn't about just making life fun for grandparents in their older age. It's all about influencing the youngest generation.
It's really the creation of a mission, isn't it?
This intergenerational discipleship. That's what we're doing. Get your older folks to align with that. And I'll tell you what, they may not care so much about the kids in the youth group that they don't know who they are, but I'll guarantee you they care about their grandkids.
Yeah.
And you can leverage that passion that they have for the grandkids in a way to increase the fervor for ministry in the older folks where they've kind of lost it.
Have you done any writings about older Christians who might be available to help the single mother or single father who do not have the other spouse to help them?
No, but we have written about something. And in fact, I have a passion about this, and that is to help the grandparents who are raising the grandchildren.
Oh, my. That's extremely important. And there's more and more examples of it out there.
And you know, when there's a single mom, most single moms have some sort of support system. The very nature of the situation in which grandparents get custody of grandchildren usually means there's nobody else in the family to do it.
Yeah.
And so they not only are all alone in trying to raise these kids, they're tired.
You know? Listen, my heart goes out to them because they finished their job and they thought that parenting and raising children was over. And all of a sudden they have the ultimate responsibility for these kids. My heart really goes out to them.
And they often find that out in a moment. You know, somebody shows up at the door and say, here, if you don't take these kids, they go into the foster kids system. And just like that, their world has changed. I want to speak to the grandparents on your program. If you know of grandparents that are raising grandkids, consider a ministry of being the grandparents to those kids because their own natural grandparents can't. They are parenting. They need grandparents too. And you could come along your friends who are raising grandkids and be the grandparents that they can't be.
Our time is gone. Larry, mention again what you said last time about an event that's coming up. In fact, two of them.
Yes.
Tell us when they're going to occur and how they can link into it virtually.
The first event is September 17th through 20th. It's a live streaming event. You can join for free. Just register online. All the information, again, is on our website, legacycoalition.com. We're going to have some subject experts, some great speakers speaking about things that are really important to grandparents right now during this coronavirus. And then March the 18th and 19th of 2021, we have our National Legacy Grandparenting Summit. It's the only national conference on Christian grandparenting. It's live in Birmingham, Alabama, but it will be streamed to sites all across the country so you can go attend somewhere near your home. Check both of those things out there on our website.
We've been talking to Larry Fowler. He's a new friend of mine. I love what you have to say. Thank you for being our guest on these two programs. Please come back and let us know how you're doing.
Okay. I'd love to. Thanks so very, very much.
This is Roger Marsh, and I don't know about you, but I was really encouraged by today's discussion. As a grandfather myself, I'm reminded of my important responsibility to point my family, especially my grandkids, to Jesus. We have a biblical calling to spiritually engage our children and our grandchildren. So for every grandparent who's listening right now, do not miss the opportunity. Learn more about Larry Fowler and the Legacy Coalition by going to drjamesdobson.org. They have some exciting events planned for you that you won't want to miss. Go now to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information. That's drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for tuning in today and every day this week for our helpful and insightful programs. Be sure to join us again next week for more of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a blessed weekend, everyone.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found this program helpful and encouraging. Please remember that our ministry is here to serve you and your family. For more information about our programs and resources, or to learn how you can support us, go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, or call us toll free, 877-732-6825. I pray that God will bless you in 2020. We're so grateful for your partnership. We ask you to stand with us and to continue to defend the Christian values in an ever-changing culture. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you'll join us again on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here. When you think about your family and where they will be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children and their children? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving for your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org for helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. James Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.